The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 23, 1985 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 11, Verse 104.
To study the Vedas for many years. Purport. This verse is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29. It is explained in the Madhya Lila in the 6th chapter, text 84. Raja kohe sabve jagannath na dekhiya chaitanya vasa grihe cholila daraya dhaya. The king said, instead of visiting the temple of Lord Jagannatha, all the devotees are running toward the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakta kohe eto, sabhavik prema rito, Mahaprabhu milibhare utkantito chito. Sarva bhavama Bhattacharya replied, this is spontaneous love. All the devotees are very anxious to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Agi tare mili se sabe tare sange loya tar sange jagannatha dekhibe nagiya. First the devotees will meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then take him with them to the temple to see Lord Jagannath. Raja kohe bhavanandir putro vaninath prasad loya sange chole panchasar. The king said, son of Bhavananda Rai, called named Baninatha, along with 5 or 7 other men, is going there to take the remnants of Lord Jagannatha's food. Mahaprabhu Raloye Kurilo Gaman Ato Mahaprasada Chahi Koho Ki Karan. Indeed, Baninatha has already gone to the residence of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and has taken a huge quantity of Mahaprasada. Please let me know the reason for this. Bhata kohe bhakta gana ailo janiya khaburang ingite prasada jai daya loya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, understanding that all the devotees have come, Lord Chaitanya gave the sign and therefore they have brought such great quantities of Mahaprasada. Raja kohe upavasha kora tirthir vidhan tahana koriya kene kaibo annapan. The king then asked Bhattacharya, why have they not observed the regulations for visiting the pilgrimage place, such as fasting, shaving, and so on? Why have they first eaten prasada? Bhatta kohe, tumi jai koho se vidhi dharma, e rago margera se shukho dharma marmo. Bhattacharya told the king, what you have said is right according to the regular principles governing the visiting of holy places. But there is another path, which is the path of spontaneous love. According to those principles, there are subtle intricacies involved in the execution of religious principles. Purport. According to the Vedic regular principles, one has to be celibate before entering a holy place of pilgrimage. Generally, people are very much addicted to sense gratification, and unless they have sex at night, they cannot sleep. The regulative principles therefore enjoin that before a common man goes to a holy place of pilgrimage, he should observe complete celibacy. As soon as one enters the holy place, he must observe fasting for the day. And after shaving his head clean, he must take a bath in a river or ocean near the holy place. These methods are adopted to neutralize the effects of sinful activities. Visiting a holy place of pilgrimage means neutralizing the reactions of a sinful life. Those who go to holy places of pilgrimage actually unload the reactions of their sinful lives. And consequently, holy places are overloaded with sinful activities left there by visitors. When a saintly person or pure devotee visits such a holy place, he absorbs the sinful effects left by the common man and again purifies the holy place. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani, Bhagavatam 1:13:10. Therefore, a common man's visit to a holy place and an exalted saintly person's visit there are different. The common man leaves his sins in the holy place, and the saintly person or devotee cleanses these sins simply by his presence. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were not common men, and they could not be subjected to the rules and regulations governing the visiting of holy places. Rather, they exhibited their spontaneous love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Immediately upon arrival at the holy place, they went to see Lord Chaitanya, and by his order they took Mahaprasada without following the regulations governing holy places. Thus, in the purport of text 112 of chapter 11 of the Madhya Lila of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, there are the two paths. One is Vidhi Marga and one is Raga Marga. Vidhi Marga is the basis, the standard rules and regulations everyone follows. The Vidhi Marga. But then, Raga Marga is where one has a spontaneous devotion, a spontaneous attraction for serving the Lord. That takes the priority. Just like everyone has to follow the rules and regulations in the country. But if you're a senator or governor, then if there's some duty, you can have a pilot police car with the red light going, you can break the speed limit. If there's no emergency and you break the speed limit, then you'll come under criticism. But if the emergency is there, then you can break the speed limit because of your higher relationship with the government. So if a devotee has got a special relationship with the government, then these minor rules and regulations, they can be superseded by a more direct instruction of the Lord. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he had actually shown how we should daily maintain our regulative life. At the same time, sometimes there would be preaching engagements where he would personally be preaching in India. It's in the Lilamrita, Prabhupada. One time Prabhupada was even a little sick, and then there was some preaching engagement. He started to preach, and he went on preaching until after midnight. And he came back and he told the devotees, "Now I'm hungry. Give me prasadam." The Prabhupada would never take it midnight otherwise, but he had been preaching. So he said, "Give me some prasadam. I'm hungry. I'm talking. For Krishna, if I can talk, that is my life. The more you give me opportunity to talk to Krishna, for Krishna, that will extend my life." So, sometimes when some preaching opportunity would come up, then Prabhupada would forget all other kind of physical and other problems that he might have. He'd become so enlivened that would actually give him more and more energy when people were interested to hear about Krishna. So that spontaneous attraction to discuss about Krishna, to preach to people, that is a higher Raga Marga activity, which Srila Prabhupada had exhibited. You see. When that opportunity is not there, of course, then artificially one shouldn't neglect any kind of rules and regulations. In this way, here we find that the devotees, they came, they were spontaneously attracted to see Lord Chaitanya. They directly ran. Normal thing would be, all right, you go shave up, take a bath in the river, Then after that, take a darshan of Jagannath, then you take prasad. Instead, they ran straight to see Lord Chaitanya without going through all these rituals. Lord Chaitanya offered them prasad. They immediately accepted. The king was amazed, why didn't they go through these different rituals? So, it's not that there's a double standard, but there is a difference. And usually those who are situated in the Vidhi Marga, who are absorbed in just the rules and regulations, they can never understand what is going on, why the other devotees don't follow all the step-by-step rituals. The problem is, see, most people, they don't have a spontaneous attraction to Krishna. Even most devotees, their attraction would be more, say, for the prasadam or for some other activity. So therefore, it's necessary that they may be more attracted than even to prasadam, but to just materialistic activities. So for them, they should become purified. Then they can have the proper attitude of service when they see the Lord, when they take prasadam. But if a person is already spontaneously attracted to the Lord, to his devotees, then it's a different situation. It's like, when Prabhupada would come somewhere, the devotees would be so spontaneously attracted, they would run to hear from him, run to see him. That was that type of spontaneous devotion, where there's a difference, you see. One is where there's a rule. This is the rule. You must do it. And people are doing it mechanically because it's a rule. I have to do it. It's my duty. Another thing is where one from inside feels a natural, spontaneous attraction, feels an inner desire, and just beyond and above the call of duty is enthusiastic. So that spontaneous devotion is something which is brings us closer to Krishna unlimitedly, more rapidly than the Vidhi Marg. So these two things have to be adjusted. If a devotee shows some spontaneity in worshipping the Lord, receiving the spiritual master, in doing some devotional service, it's a very good sign. In the Nectar of Devotion, it mentions that first one is told to do rules and regulations, and they do that. And then, the next stage of that is when it becomes a second nature to follow the regular principles. One doesn't have to push one to do those regular principles, but they do it spontaneously. Then higher level than that is where one actually has got a natural attraction. It's not that it's a rule or regulation. Whether there was the rule or not, the person is attracted. You don't have to force the person. The person is naturally attracted to the devotional activities. That is considered to be the higher level of Raganuga. So, there is a difference, and the people who live in the Holy Dham, they are considered to be basically on the Raganuga platform. This is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in his Chaitanya, in his different purports. But sometimes people go to visit the Holy Dhams, and there they see how the residents are kind of dealing sometimes casually with Krishna, because they became so confidential and intimate with Krishna that they can't help but think about Krishna in so many various ways. But someone who is in a more mechanical Vidhi Marga vision, they think that this is offensive. And they start to criticize the residents of the Holy Dham. And thus they become guilty of a Vaishnava Aparad. Therefore, it's said that people should only visit the Holy Dham for 3 days. They shouldn't stay too long because they're not going to be able to accommodate the relationship of the Dhambasis with the Lord. It's a bit too difficult for them to understand. They're more on the awe and reverence kind of platform rather than on the Raganuga platform. These things are mentioned in the scripture, but if you try to tell that to someone who's on the Vidhi Marg, they cannot understand. In fact, they become offensive. So, It's a very difficult situation to accommodate. Now, Maharaj Pratap Rudra would be similarly there, making this mistake with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who himself was a very strict Vidhi Margi before. Now he has come to understand that there's this higher level of spontaneous devotional service, and he's learned to recognize that. These symptoms are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're known as anubhavas. You see, someone should see those anubhavas. If a person has got those anubhavas of spontaneous devotional service, then he can be recognized as such. It's like one of them is a person, he never is idle. See, a material person, or a person in a Vidhi Marg, they may, if they get the opportunity, they may sit around and start to just waste time in certain ways. Maybe talk about unrelated subjects. So there's a rule that you have to talk about Krishna. So then they have to be engaged. But someone on the Raganuga platform or on the platform of Bhava, or upper echelons of the eightfold stages of advancement in bhakti, they won't be able to be idle from Krishna's service even for a moment. They'll start to become anxious. This is one of the symptoms. You won't have to ask them to do something. Then themselves will be wanting to do some devotional service. If they don't have any, they'll start to become anxious. But what service can I do next? So this is one of the qualities. Like that, there are other qualities. 8 anubhavas or 9 anubhavas are there. So leaders in the Krishna conscious movement have to become expert, whether they're on the Vidhi Marga, whether they're on the Raga Marga, to really recognize these anubhavas. If they can see the anubhavas, this is more important. If you to recognize what stage another devotee is on. If a person is showing a natural inclination towards sense gratification, if he's showing a natural inclination towards materialistic activity, then it means that that person should be very strict with the Vidhi Marg, so that he can purify himself, because he's got the spontaneous attraction to the material world, which is a normal situation. To counteract that, we follow Vidhi Marg, and then gradually our spontaneous attraction to the material world is cut, it's stopped, and then gradually transfers over until it becomes a spontaneous attraction to Krishna. But if one is showing a spontaneous attraction to Krishna, then Krishna gives that devotee a little leeway in terms of how to apply the devotional service. You see. Just like this example where the devotees are running to see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya offers them prasadam, doesn't force them to go through the normal ritual of going down, bathing in the ocean, shaving their hair. So, all right, you've come so far all the way from Bengal, you can take all, sit down, take prasadam. When they get the direct order from the Lord, how can they refuse? So these two things are there. Even this is a common thing that relative to the other Vaishnavas in India, Prabhupada has set up many things in ISKCON, much more on a Raga Marga, which even our ISKCON devotees, they can't understand that. And some of the Gaudiya Mats and other mathas and things like that, sometimes they consider that what ISKCON is doing is not strictly following the minute rules and regulations. Like in the rainy season, some strictures are there, I don't know exactly where, but they claim there's some rules. Don't take eggplant, don't take beans, don't take gourds, don't take, you know, it's about 10 different vegetables. By the time you finish it all, there's nothing you can take but potatoes. And so what happened, like Prabhupada said, these are not very important. And of course, there's a main thing, we don't take spinach 1 month, we don't take yogurt this month, next month we don't take milk, in the final month we don't take urad dal. These are the more important, which are mentioned quite prominently. The other are, I don't know, might be some rules are there. They must be following some sort of stricture, but Prabhupada said that it's more important to offer nice prasadam to Krishna and for preaching. So he didn't stress on this particular point. Or they, some temples, they, in the rainy season, they don't cut their hair. But they eat everything out. I mean, some of them don't even follow these four things that we follow. No milk, no yogurt. They take their milk and yogurt, but they don't eat their eggplant. So I mean, what's the big deal? But like this, sometimes people think that this is some kind of, you see, breakage of the rules. This type of difference of opinion exists from one spiritual master to the next in terms of applying the devotional principle. Prabhupada applied in many aspects a raga nuga principle, where for preaching sake he streamlined, or he just took out what was the essence, what preserved the inner mood, and then those things which were too cumbersome or too impractical for the common day, that he just those things he had that vision to know which was more grave and which was less grave. So these things are there even between ISKCON and other centers. Within ISKCON, it's also necessary that, just like when a party is going out and doing traveling Sankirtan, they may think that, well, I'm doing Sankirtan, I'm not able to attend the Mangal Arati in the temple, therefore I shouldn't go out and do traveling Sankirtan. But no, for preaching, it's more important. So then even if one gets up and just does a small ceremony in the back of the bus, or chants the japa, or does some other, you see, whatever they can do to have a little morning program while traveling, even though it may not be the same as going to the to the whole temple program, still for the sake of traveling and preaching to so many different souls scattered here and there, it's a higher priority. So like this, these things have to be accommodated. But then one shouldn't, if one is actually for the purpose of preaching one might be doing, but then if they again are within the temple community, they should not whimsically ever neglect any kind of rules or regulations. That would create a bad habit. Ishvara paroka agya kaura upasha uposhan prabhu shakat agya prasad bhojan. The scriptural injunctions for shaving and fasting are indirect orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, when there is a direct order from the Lord to take prasad, naturally the devotees take prasad as their first duty. Taha upavasa jaha nahi moha prasad prabhu agya prasad tyagi hoya aparad. When Mahaprasad is not available, there must be fasting. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead orders one directly to take prasad, neglecting such an opportunity is offensive. This reminds me, one time I was sent on a mission to find the birthplace of Krishna Das Kaviraj for doing some development work there. And as such, I went to the temple of Gadadhar Das, Das Gadadhar, the brother of Gadadhar Prabhu, disciple, the brother, and he's all considered the effulgence of Arirani. It was a Lord Chaitanya temple established by Raghunandan Thakur. It's one of the original temples made of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I asked the Mahanta there that if he could give a disciple to guide me to find, because this Krishna Das Kaviraj's place, there was no road, it was very, you had to go about 10 miles on dirt roads into the villages, and it was a very backward place, you had to cross over a river. When I put our jeep, we had to put it on a bamboo boat, and just somehow it balanced in and walked on the side of the boat while we took the jeep over, and on the other side, it was a very, it's probably one of the most backward places I've seen in Bengal. Apart from maybe the Sundarban, where the tigers are. And so I requested, he said, all right, I'll give you someone to guide you, but you should take prasad. And I said that, no, I have to go and do this work for Lord Chaitanya, otherwise I have to go and find this place and do some development work there. And he said that you are doing Lord Chaitanya's work. But as a pujari on behalf of Lord Chaitanya, when you come to his house, then it's Lord Chaitanya, as it's your duty to serve Lord Chaitanya, it's his desire to serve you. And so, therefore, I'm ordering that you have to take prasad. Are you going to refuse the mercy of the Lord? Something like that, you know, I forget. So, because he put it so heavy, plus he was blackmailing me, he wouldn't give me anybody unless I took prasad. So it just happened that way. It was like a special festival. They had about 5 different spinaches and misaks, and it's about 15 different vegetables. So really nice, really wonderful prasad. Although we were not even thinking about taking any prasadam or anything, we just wanted to get this. Was, you know, it's quite a distance. We had to go from Mayapur, get back to Mayapur that night. It was about almost 100-mile drive all total. So through those kind of roads, it takes a long time. So we took the prasad as the mercy of the Lord. So that way, Krishna himself, he's always trying to take care of his devotees. If a devotee, they're trying to take care of the Lord's instructions. And this way, there's like a spiritual competition. So here the devotees of the Lord Chaitanya came, we can see how Lord Chaitanya dealt with them. Visheshe Shri Haste Prabhu Kore Poriveshan Ato Lava Charikon Kore Uposhan. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing prasad with his transcendental hand, who will neglect such an opportunity and accept the regular principles of fasting? When Chaitanya is giving out prasad himself, no, I will fast. Who will do something like that? Purve Prabhu More Prasad Annani Dilo Prati Sajjaya Voshiyami Se Anna Kailo. Previously the Lord gave me Mahaprasad rice one morning, and I ate that just sitting on my bed without even washing out my mouth. Jare Kripa Kori Kore Hridaye Prayam Krishna Astaya Hoya Chare Veda Loka Dharam. The man to whom the Lord shows his mercy by inspiring him within the heart takes shelter only of Lord Krishna and abandons all Vedic and social customs. Report. This is also the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman prityaja mamekam saranam braja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami ma suchaha. Translation. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Such firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is possible only by the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is sitting within everyone's heart. And when he personally inspires his devotee, the devotee does not stick to the Vedic principles or social customs, but rather devotes himself to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is confirmed in the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam
4:29-47.
Translation. When one is inspired by the Lord who is sitting in everyone's heart, he does not care for social custom or Vedic regulative principles. Translation with repetition. When one is inspired by the Lord,
who is sitting in everyone's heart,
he does not care for social custom or Vedic regulative principles. Report. This instruction was given by Narada Goswami to King Prachina Bhadi in connection with the story of Puranjana. Without the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot extricate himself from the fruitive activities that are under the jurisdiction of the Vedas.
Even personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Manu, and the Prajapatis headed by Daksha, the four Kumaras, Marichi, and even Narada himself could not properly receive the causeless mercy of the Lord. People wonder, why is it, how is it possible that the devotees, one person was asking it, how they're able to just chant on their bead bags in public, and people are staring and everything, they don't care. They know that by chanting Hare Krishna, they can feel. So for them, chanting is more important than what people think. Rather, let people think maybe they'll be able to get some association by that. Actually, yesterday when we went to this, so we went to a Quaker program. They received us quite cordially. They invited us to come in. I don't want to really comment at this point about their program, but we could see that there's an opportunity to go and to put on some kind of exhibitions and forums at such places. They have actually times when they have set aside for that kind of a program. We could have a kind of a food for life slideshow made up of our activities in America and Australia and different parts of the world in India. We could have, you know, we have our movies. We could go and show a video, show a movie, Super 8, and explain something about Krishna consciousness. And some different, you know, according to the interest group that's there, either from the food for life angle or just in a general way. And this way, gradually, the kind of opinion that people have about the Krishna conscious movement, due to a lack of exposure, more than anything else, the only exposure they get is when occasionally some horrible thing gets published in the newspaper. Generally the newspapers, especially in Atlanta, they hardly ever publish anything good. I mean, New York, and they had on the front page of the New York Times, the Rath Yatra. Similarly, in Los Angeles, they do have good press releases come out. But in Atlanta, I don't think I've ever seen, hardly, you know, very occasionally, is there a good press that comes out. And if anything, it's just, you know, occasionally there's maybe something that's really bad that may come out. Usually nothing comes out at all, so what they just get some kind of strange idea that what are these people? They dress funny, they look funny, they act funny. So they can't really relate. So if we had some more exposure with these people, if they were able to gradually start to relate, what is a Krishna conscious movement? He said we saw this class come last night, actually, about 40 to about more than half, I would say, actually chanted the one round, even though it was their first visit. So in this way, it shows that the people themselves are not the bad at heart, the innocent, but they just have got some inborn kind of prejudices, just kind of fear of anything which is new or unknown. Probably in that respect, the Southeast is a little more conservative because it's more, it's not as cosmopolitan. But since Atlanta is the undisputed commercial center of the Southeast, second largest airport, now you can fly directly to London and a few places, Europe. So the people here should become a little more open-minded, and we should help them by opening their minds and presenting to them some Krishna consciousness. And this way, they can see that, all right, we may not 100% observe all the social customs of the Americas because we are coming from a different Vedic culture. But since here also, Martin Luther King respected Gandhi. Gandhi used to read the Bhagavad Gita every day. In the Gandhi movie, the end, they had the Raghupati Rao Gavaraj around, at least at the closing minutes. I mean, people should be a little more receptive here. We should take advantage of the different ethnic groups and different people that are here and try to introduce Krishna consciousness to them. We should, when we start to use our brain and start to think that how can I deliver the people here in Georgia? How can I deliver the people in the southeast? Jagat Guru Swami came all the way down. At that time he was in Chicago, and he attended the Festival of India program about a year and a half ago in Birmingham, and we were sitting here at night and we didn't even know that there was such a program going on. And they sold, distributed thousands of dollars of the prasadam and books and things. So this is the kind of thing that, if the devotees become more and more absorbed in actually how to take advantage of every opportunity, then actually there are so many opportunities we could take advantage of. We could get an exposure to Krishna consciousness. We could gradually start to change the public opinion, create a positive public opinion. In Calcutta, because of the Rath Yatra festival, as Mukunda Das mentioned yesterday, this because of the very positive effect of that Rath Yatra, the people's consciousness was turned around. Maybe it's not so easy in America to just have one festival and be able to create that kind of effect. But whether it's by one big festival or it's by a gradual chipping away at the mountain, that eventually we can definitely create a very positive opinion. There was a negative opinion in Los Angeles. Now I understand even the municipality, in their brochure advertising LA for tourists, they have a picture of the Rath Yatra there. It's one of the landmark festivals or attractions that people visiting LA can see. So like this, in different parts, people's attitude has changed. Just like in Cleveland, I believe it was, the government had approved the, was it Cleveland or somewhere, where they, $20,000. So these kind of things are there, where we're getting a good response. People are starting to appreciate what we're doing in different ways. So here, Maharaj Prataparudra, he can't understand why they're not following the Vedic social customs. What to speak of, even if we strictly follow Vedic social customs, our Americans don't understand what we're doing. So we need to be educated and be introduced a little more into some of the Vedic customs, and then they can appreciate how this Krishna conscious movement is providing a whole other service and cultural venue for the people. Are there any questions? Yes?
Someone's on the platform of Ragamart that is associated predominantly with people that are on the right platform.
Generally, that's what a person should do. So as it says, sometimes Krishna may inspire in the heart. It's like, if there's opportunity to preach, it's very hard to tell someone in the Ragamart have to take rest at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock so we get up at 2:30, 10 or do a japa before Mangal Arati, when there's an opportunity to preach and people are there. But there are some people who are so rigid that they can just do that. They can just walk out and leave people sit there who have come to hear about Krishna, and they can maintain their schedule. Obviously some people have to do that who are doing the puja. But those two things somehow have to be accommodated. As a general thing, one shouldn't disturb anyone's faith. One should just follow the normal vidis as an example for others. Sometimes if some opportunity comes for preaching, then there'll be the different way that the two types of devotees will be attracted. One will be spontaneously attracted to telling people about Krishna, as Prabhupada was, and others will be spontaneously attracted to just following the rules and regulations, let those people go to hell, they don't care. Well, sadhana bhakti is a broad category which includes vidhi bhakti. We all perform the sadhana. The sadhana is more or less synonymous, you could say. The sadhana bhakti includes the vidhi mark and the spontaneous vidhi mark. Both. It's like in the beginning, someone's told, get up from Mangal Arati, but they don't do it. We have to, you know, set off an atomic bomb by the side of the bed before they get up. They get all angry or something. But they come, but it's with great duress. And then there's a person who just spontaneously gets up, attends all the program. He follows the vidhi, but it's like becomes like a second nature to him. So that's considered a stage where the rules and regulations themselves become spontaneous. But even such persons, although they're very spontaneous in following the rules and regulations, they may not have a spontaneous attraction for, so, say, for preaching or some other activities like that. They're just spontaneous in the rules and regulations. And when they become spontaneous directly for rendering certain devotional services, then that's actually considered the full of Agni Buddha. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's godbrother was on the Rani Buddha platform. Much higher than the highest level. But his disciples could never understand his activities, so he restricted them from actually seeing or commenting on him. Bhaksi Vedanta as well as that's the general guideline when one's in Rome should try to encourage people's faith, but this is the problem. Just like when those devotees came into Jagannath Puri, they just forgot about everything. They just ran into Lord Chaitanya. And that's the kind of nature of a devotee is on a more spontaneous, on a spontaneous platform. When a particular devotional service arises, or when there's something, actually they just being inspired by Krishna in the heart, they forget all these other considerations.